Gish Jen has tackled the subject of identity, both personal and national, in her novels Typical American and Mona in the Promised Land, as well as her short story collection Who's Irish. In her latest novel, The Love Wife, the issues of interracial marriage and adoption complicate the question of who's who. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
When it comes to mothers, the Italian or Italian-American mother has long been stereotyped as the bossiest big mama of them all. Think, for instance, of Ray Romano's tomato sauce sputtering fire hydrant of a TV mother on Everybody Loves Raymond, or the fact that a recent Penguin collection of Italian-American literature was given the frantic title, Don't Tell Mama. But in literature particularly, an ethnic variant on the monster Mamma Mia has been gaining ground. I'm talking about the Chinese or Chinese-American mother. Maxine Hong Kingston and Amy Tan have popularized this maternal woman warrior in their fiction. Best-selling memoirs like Jung Chang's Wild Swans testify to the mettle of real-life Chinese mothers who've withstood the torments of sexual enslavement, the Red Guard, and disobedient children. In Gish Jen's latest absorbing novel, The Love Wife, the mother in question is dead throughout most of the story. But even death doesn't stop this maternal force of nature from messing up the lives of her son and his family. Jen constructs The Love Wife as a series of retrospective testimonies, mostly by members of the Wang family, about events that upended their world. Instead of feeling contrived, this distinctive structure makes the novel feel less written, more talky. Our main character here, Carnegie Wong, is the 39-year-old husband and father in what's called a half-half family. Carnegie is a first-generation Chinese-American. His wife Janie, or Blondie, as she was derisively nicknamed by Carnegie's mother, comes from old Euro-American stock. Their two daughters, Wendy, age 9, and Lizzie, age 15, are Asian. Wendy was adopted from China, Lizzie in America. No one is sure if she's Chinese, Korean, Japanese, or a mix. Then there's the Wong's biological son, Bailey, who's disconcertingly blonde and fair-skinned. In Mama Wong's view, her son's family is unnatural. She'd always say, "The trouble with you people is not enough periods. A child should grow up, say, this is my mother, period. This is my father, period. Otherwise, that family look like not real." Clearly, Mama Wong is one opinionated old battle axe. She's also as indomitable as they come. As a young woman, she escaped the Chinese mainland by swimming to Hong Kong, even though she couldn't swim. She solved that minor problem by clutching two basketballs under her arms and kicking. As a widowed mother in America, she became a real estate mogul. But even the most die-hard mother has to shuck off this mortal coil sometime, and Mama Wong eventually succumbs to an Alzheimer's-related bad fall. After death, Mama Wong issues one last command. She wants Carnegie and Blondie to take in a distant female cousin from China so that the girls will learn to speak Chinese. Blondie, suspiciously, has a different take on this last request. "Only your mother," she tells Carnegie, "would send us from her grave the wife you should have married." Thus ensues a dizzying square dance of affection within the Wong family, where everyone takes turns switching allegiances, depending on affinity, racial identity, blood ties, and whim. Lan, as the cousin from China is called, is compelling enough to win over the two Wong daughters, who are having identity problems, as well as Carnegie. But that's not where everyone winds up when the music stops. The narrative here is antic, quickened by Jen's trademark humor. She's so adept at capturing whole personalities in a couple of witty sentences. For instance, here's Carnegie's description of Blondie's artsy-fartsy family. "Their capital was knowledge, taste. They placed stock in their vocabularies. They were chiefly defined by what they could not take seriously." Funny as this novel is, and shrewd about human nature, it's also deliberately, and to my mind, annoyingly frustrating in its ultimate slipperiness about where it stands in its attitudes towards adoption and the conventional wisdom about sticking to your own kind. Maybe Jen didn't want to end with a PC paean to diversity. Or maybe she wanted to evade the stark simplicities of identity politics. Her novel's kaleidoscopic ending is an artistic triumph. Virtually every sentence rearranges the verdict. But in choosing to be coy rather than direct, Jen muffles the meaning of this otherwise very amusing and revelatory visit with one version of the new all-American family.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Love Wife by Gish Jen.